You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on The Grave Talks, Ghost Girl, a conversation with Allie Rose. Allie grew up in a haunted house, and like so many people who have lived through that experience, it changes their lives. It had such a huge impact on her life that growing up, she was nicknamed Ghost Girl. As time went by, she began to search for answers by ghost hunting and researching the paranormal, leading her to more unsettling experiences. By sharing her experiences, she hopes to provide a sense of camaraderie for others whose lives have also been affected by the paranormal. I'm Carol Hughes, and on this episode of The Grave Talks, we'll talk about growing up with paranormal activity with Allie Rose, author of Ghost Girl. And Allie, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
I grew up in a haunted house. I'm always fascinated by other people who have had that experience as well. And so I wanted to find someone who had written about it. And so I just kind of wanted to see what your experience was like. So the house that you grew up in, that is in Florida?
Yes. Yeah.
It looks like a normal house.
It does. It's so weird because, like, the house itself was built in 1968. That's one of the few things I was able to find when researching. I really couldn't find too much else, but it wasn't an old house. It wasn't, as far as I know, on any land that had connections to any like tragedy or anything like that. So I am not sure why it was so haunted, but it was.
That's what's so interesting to me, because, you know, we like to look for that reason why, but to not be able to find those answers, I don't know if that's good or not good. You know, having the answers, would they help you any?
Exactly. Yeah. And like, that's one thing that I've like realized is that the more you look for answers for that kind of thing, the more questions you end up coming up with.
Exactly. So tell me about the house, because it's a basic, like, was it a ranch style house?
It was just like a standard, like one story single family home. There wasn't really too much that was like super special about it. It had a really big front yard and a really big backyard though. And it had a weird crawl space on the side of the house. And a lot of the activity kind of centered around that. So I'm thinking maybe that might have had something to do with.
How old were you when you moved into that house, or were you brought home from the hospital into that house?
Right home from the hospital.
So you grew up, so your whole life was like that.
Yeah.
Living in that house. Did your other family members, they also experience some things as well, correct?
Yes. Yeah, everyone did. Everyone in my family did. Almost all of my friends that came over when I got older, all of them had experiences too.
There was one thing that you wrote in the book that really resonated. There's a few things that resonated with me, because for me as a kid, I was actually embarrassed by living in a haunted house. So I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to tell my friends. My best friend knew. She literally saw activity from her living room looking out from her house into my house. She saw several things.
Oh, gosh.
And yeah. And so to me, it was always embarrassing for me. And that was kind of like that for you as well. You didn't really want to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, like I just didn't know what people would think of me if I talked about it. And like the times that I did talk about it a lot, people were kind of not so nice about it. So there was a period of time where I didn't really talk about it a lot, but I don't know. As I got older, I just started to get more and more like fascinated with it. And it sort of became my thing that I talked about all the time. So it was kind of a weird switch from there.
Hence the nickname Ghost Girl.
Yep, exactly.
Do you even kind of remember your first experience, or was it kind of always just there and you remember some early experiences?
My first ever memory is the first time I think that I saw something. So my earliest memory, I was sleeping in my parents' room and I woke up in the middle of the night and I felt this need to look at the foot of the bed. And so I looked and I saw this like dark figure of a man walking back and forth across the room. And like the silhouette was not like, I would have known if it was someone in my family. It was not. Plus they were right there. So, but it was walking back and forth across the room. And at first I was just like, is there a person in the house? But then I realized that it was like disappearing and reappearing as it moved across. And I kind of just like sat there and watched it for a while. And I don't really remember much else from that night, but I do remember that.
And when you're really young like that, you don't know ghosts. You don't have even a concept of that.
No.
But you know it's not right.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, I knew something really weird was happening, but my first thought wasn't like, that's a ghost, because I was too young to even really know about that. And like, even as I got older, when I did know about like ghosts and stuff, I still didn't really call a lot of the stuff that happened like ghost activity for a long time, because like my thought of ghosts were like white mists and things
exactly.
like that.
Because it looks like a sheet over somebody.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
You don't even know what it is. And you're probably, when you're really young, your concept of a ghost is what you saw in Scooby-Doo.
Exactly.
Really, you know, that's what the ghost was. And then you ripped their thing off at the end and, oh, it's Mr. So-and-so.
Exactly.
And they solved the mystery.
Yeah.
So when you're a kid, you know, that's your reference points.
Exactly. It was just stuff that I could not explain that really freaked me out.
Now, your parents, I'm assuming they knew the house was haunted. Did you ever have conversations about it with them growing up?
Yeah, like a lot, actually. Like we all knew that it was really haunted. It was kind of just like a normal part of our lives. Like something would happen and we'd be like, hey, guess what happened to me today? They'd be like, oh, there was the ghost again. That's really weird because this happened to me last week. Like it was like almost a casual thing that we were all super used to. There were times that cleansings and stuff were attempted, but it never really worked. So that's pretty much it with that.
One thing, though, I found about your house was there seemed to be a lot of different types of entities in it, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, I have no idea. It is so weird. Like, to this day, when I talk about it, I'm just like, okay, when I say my house is haunted, I don't mean somebody passed away there and they were still hanging out. I mean, like, there were things there all the time and like multiple things, and I had no idea what they were doing there.
And by multiple things, let's kind of dive into that. Mm-hmm. So you definitely saw shadow people, like you were just talking about. There was at one point, like, I'm trying to remember how you described it, like it was white.
Yeah. Oh gosh, I called that the white thing and my brother called it the bunny man.
Because once again, he had no vocabulary for what to say it was.
Yeah, exactly. And like the way I didn't understand what he meant till that until later, like the last time I saw it, it was kind of like crouched on the ground and like perched like a person who is imitating a bunny rabbit. I know that sounds really weird, but like the hands in front of the body. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and especially for him, because he's trying to describe it to you. And well, it was kind of like a bunny.
It was. And it was white. And like, so it was like this like big white creature with its hands in front of its face. And like it was about to hop up in the air. And that's probably the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
And did you see it frequently?
There were times that I felt like it might be around. But I only ever saw it like with my own eyes twice. My younger brother saw it, I believe, once. He might have seen it another time. I don't really remember. But I remember the main time that he saw it was when he like ran into my room crying because it scared him.
Did you ever like see an apparition?
That wasn't as common. It was usually shadow people and like weird figures and stuff. But there was one time that really sticks out in my head was there was this old woman that I saw one time. And what had happened was I had walked across the yard and up to like the front door. And my mom was all the way at the other end of the yard checking the mail in the mailbox. And she had the keys. So I was just waiting by the door. And I don't remember if I saw something or heard something on the other side of the door, but I peeked in and like there was this pattern on the glass. It was mostly like translucent to where you couldn't see through, but it was still clear so you could see shape. Yeah. And like, but there were these little lines in the pattern to where if you like put your eye up to it, you could clearly see through. I heard or saw something. I don't really remember, but something made me want to peek through the little like line in the pattern. And when I did, there was this like old lady on the other side, like peeking back.
No.
Yeah. It really scared me, really freaked me out. But that was the only time I ever saw her. She looked a lot later, I found out, like a great grandmother. I don't know if that's who that was, but she looked very similar to a photo.
You also experienced activity, too, like hearing footsteps, hearing voices, and all of that stuff as well.
Yes. So the main thing, honestly, that would happen was we would hear whispering. and we couldn't always tell what it was saying. There were times that we heard like very clear like voices like talking. So this isn't really my story. It's another family member's story, but this always really scared me to think about. So there was a period of time where me and my parents and my little brother moved out of the city for about a year, and we were going to come back. So my older brother and his wife moved into the house, and one day his wife was home by herself. The dog in the other room, which was in his crate at the moment, suddenly just started barking. And this was in the room that used to be my bedroom. But he kept barking. And then she heard this man in the other room yell, "Shut up."
Oh, that gives me goosebumps.
Yeah. And she was like, "What the heck?" So she went in there. There was nobody there. And the dog did shut up like immediately.
Well, because he was scared to death. He heard it.
He was scared to death. Exactly. So that wasn't my experience. But I've had so many experiences with hearing things in the house. One of the main ones was, it's kind of a longer story. I'm not going to go into it unless you want me to, but, there's one of the main ghosts in that house was this little girl named Carly. And most of my interactions with her were actually in dreams. But there was one time that I was home by myself with just my mom, and no TV was on, nothing. We lived like pretty much on a big property. So like there were no neighbors like right next door that were yelling or anything. And like it definitely was in the room. We heard a little girl's voice just all of a sudden go, "Mom." And we were like, "What was that?"
And you both heard it.
We both heard it at the same time, and we like froze.
I think there's such validation in that when it's you hearing something, with it's just you experiencing something, people can say, "Well, obviously that's not what you heard. Well, exactly. Obviously you're making things up. Well, obviously it's your imagination." But yeah. When it's you and your mother hearing it, that's pretty validating.
Exactly. And like that happened a lot. Like there were definitely times I heard stuff by myself, but it was so weird. It was almost like things would happen more often when there were other people around.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And you said that you thought the crawl space under the house really had a lot of, because at the house I lived in, we had a cellar. So it had this really, really heavy door, and it was like a dugout cellar. Like you would find in her house, built in the 1900s, around 1900. And it was just spooky. It was haunted. It was like, things would happen down there. But so maybe that's why to this day I have a thing about basements, going down the stairs and coming back up the stairs. I don't like that feeling. I always feel like I'm being watched. And that might sound crazy.
No, it does not. I understand.
But you get this feeling. And you felt that around the crawl space too.
Yes. So part of the reason why I felt that about the crawl space, like I always felt it. Like it always really creeped me out. But I had dreams. Again, the ghost, the girl Carly that I had a lot of interactions with in that house. The dreams that I would have about her, she would be trying to get me to go in the crawl space. It was the same recurring dream every time. And I would just know that I should not go in there. And when I would refuse, she would get really upset. So there is that.
it makes me feel like something happened to her in the crawl space and she needed you come in here.
That's
with
what
me.
I was or thinking.
Do you still have dreams about her sometimes to this day?
No.
Good.
I haven't had a dream about her in a very long time. So I'm hoping she like found peace or something.
Do you have dreams about the house in general? Because I've dreamt about the house I lived in. Not as much the last 5-10 years, but it was ongoing and they'd be nightmarish. Like it'd be really scary. And they continued throughout my adult life. And I still occasionally do have one. Has that happened to you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Because it kind of puts you like you're right back there.
Yeah, that is, and it's really scary.
It is.
Just say that much.
There was another thing also that resonated with me, and I don't know why. Here I am, a little kid, Because I lived in the house we lived in from first grade to, I moved out right before my seventh grade year. Even though I'm living this every day and I'm scared and all those things, I was fascinated by ghosts. And so I would get books about ghosts. I don't know why I wanted to read about it. I would do it during the day. I wouldn't read about it before bed. But anything scary like that. My sister had a Ouija board. We were always kind of drawn to it, which is interesting. And I still am. Obviously, I talk about paranormal stuff all day. But you were the same way.
Yes.
I thought that was really
still,
interesting.
Like, super into that stuff.
Because you went on to do paranormal investigations.
Yeah, it's so weird because, like, the paranormal stuff in that house was, like, really scary to me. It wasn't something that I was like, ooh, this is fun, but it doesn't get to me this way that house did. And I think a big part of it is because it's not my space. If it's in my space, it's more unnerving to me, if that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense because I don't, and you're even braver than me. You've done ghost investigations. I don't want to do any paranormal investigations at all. I feel like I'm drawing things to me. But I also don't want it in my home. And I want to come into my house and feel like this is a safe space.
Exactly. So, exactly. Yeah.
So you and I are very much alike there. But the difference is that when I'm just reading books about ghosts, you actually, at a very young age, sometime in, was it in high school? Or
yeah, it was like my, well, it was like my last year of middle school when I started.
Oh, so you're even, yeah, so you were young. Yeah. And you decided you wanted to investigate this stuff. And so you decided to do some ghost investigating in your own home.
Yep.
Which, hats off. That was really brave of you. I could never have done anything like that. So talk a little about how that went for you.
Yeah, so I made friends with this girl in eighth grade and actually made friends with her because she posted on Facebook about having a ghost in her house. And I messaged her and I was like, hey, tell me more, because same. And we just got to talking about it. And we were super into like the show Paranormal State back then. So we were like, hey, we should try to do what they're doing, because like, it seems like they have more like control over the situation when they try to like communicate and see what's going on. And maybe we'll find some answers that way and it won't be as scary. One day she came over to my house, we had a sleepover, and we basically ghost hunted the entire night, like literally stayed up all night. Definitely left us with more questions than answers. Whatever was there did not seem like it was interested in talking to us because it needed help. It seemed more like it wanted to mess with us. But we still were like, kept getting drawn back, and we were like really fascinated by it and just also really confused. So we just kept ghost hunting at my house. And eventually we stopped because it was making things a lot worse. And we took things outside though, because we still like enjoyed investigating, not in the house.
I always felt it was safer being outside. When I got really scared, that was my go-to thing. I just want to run outside. Yeah. And once I was outside, definitely, I felt okay.
But yeah, yeah.
So I just think it's so surprising the way you dove in to it, because I would have been trying to push it away. No, I can't. I can't interact with it. So yeah, I find that very interesting that you even did that. Did you find, you know, outside were a little bit safer? But look, the crawl space is right here.
Yeah. So we did actually have some experiences outside too, which was really weird. I usually felt safer outside, but actually one of the first things that happened that day that we first started investigating at the house actually happened outside on the trampoline. It could have just been some kind of coincidence. Maybe she tripped, but she had a broom and she was sweeping the leaves off the trampoline so we could like jump on it and stuff, because we were like teenage girls. We're still trying to have fun, you know? And all of a sudden she was standing completely still, and I watched the thing like depress next to her, like somebody had jumped like right next to her or was like running almost like at her. And I was like, oh, what the heck? That was weird. But then the broom came up and hit her in the eye.
Oh.
And she was like crying. Like she had like a bruise like under her eye, like not quite a black eye, but like it wasn't pretty. And maybe she tripped. I don't know. But she said she felt like someone was running straight at her.
And you did see something kind of something happened right before that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I literally saw like the depression of someone there.
What's interesting when things like that happen, that you're just outside goofing off. You're not looking for it at that point.
Yeah. I feel like whatever was there kind of knew that we were going to try to talk to it, though, later. So maybe it was like, hi.
Do you think, too, that you could have already sort of opened up a little communication line with something because of trying to investigate?
Probably. Most likely, honestly.
So just out of curiosity, were your parents to the point they're like, oh, you know, Allie, she's just ghost hunting all night. We'll leave her some snacks out. Did your family just kind of accept that you wanted to stay up all night sometimes ghost hunting with your friend?
Honestly, they didn't really know.
Oh, you just did it.
They didn't really know. Like, my mom knew a little bit, but she was kind of just like, oh, it's just Allie. Just what I don't know won't bother me. So I'm just not going to really say anything. And like, my dad did not know at all.
Well, you do have to be pretty quiet sometimes when you're ghost hunting, so yeah. Or you certainly can be.
Yeah, so and we didn't have like proper equipment or anything, and not that you always really need it though. We were mostly just like relying on like our camera, our voice recorder, and like just the feelings that we were getting. A lot of people think that you need fancy equipment to investigate, and it's always good to have because it helps to build more evidence, but it's also nice sometimes to just have the bare minimum and just take like a camera and a digital recorder and go based on your own intuition and see what you feel. That's also its own experience.
Mm-hmm. You actually continued that fascination with ghost hunting and you did it for a while. You're not currently doing investigations or anything?
I am now.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So
at the end of the book, I said I was not, but that has changed.
Oh, so we'll get into that in a minute then.
Yeah.
So you continued investigating and started going to other places.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, I think that when, especially you being born and brought into a haunted house at that age, and I was, I don't know, first grade, however old you are then, 7?
Yeah.
I think that maybe that opens you up to experiences maybe throughout your life when you live in a situation like that for quite a while.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that was the case with you?
I definitely do. I've noticed that I tend to be really sensitive to that stuff. And I do think that a big part of it is because like I kind of just grew up with that. So it's almost like there's not that part of my brain that really like kind of shuts it out, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
And I think that it helps you with, well, it's what terrifies me about paranormal investigations for me personally, because I don't want to open up myself anymore. But I also see why you do want to do it. Why
yeah.
I see both sides of it, why you're attracted to it, why you wouldn't want to do it. So in your case, you wanted to continue exploring that. Even outside of the home?
Yes.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Allie Rose, author of Ghost Girl. You can get the book through Amazon and follow her on TikTok at Spooky Allie Cake. That's Spooky Allie, A-L-L-I-E, Cake. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can also sign up at patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, also all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at the Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.